I thought that since for many of us a major focus of the tefillos and the efforts on the Yom Noroim are for our children, for our families, and there seem to be some very striking parallels between the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially as expressed in this time of year, and the relationships that we hopefully and should have with our children. And in reality, by focusing a little bit on some of those messages, we might be doing a form of ishtadlus in addition to our tefillahs for our children, but actually some efforts that can hopefully advance and enhance our accomplishments and our guidance and our influence and the end results that we so direly want to see from our children. You know, children are really are nitzchias. Nodim Godel once told me that until his first child was born, he didn't understand what the word nitzchias meant. Eternity. What's eternity? Eternity is beyond human comprehension. But with children, we can begin to relate to the concept that, you know, maybe I can get it. There is such a thing as continuity and continuing on forever. So it's something that I think is of relevance and benefit that we can take out of this season in a practical way, besides just the benefits of appreciating and understanding what we're trying to accomplish. And one of the most striking elements in the Yomim Noiroim is the contrast between the name and the emotion. The name evokes fear. Yomim Hanoiroim, the days of awe, the days of fear. Yet, when we prepare, the beginning, starting with Elul, and even as we continue and as we come to these days of awe, we seem to sense that there's another theme, that there's another motif, that there's something maybe a little bit beyond this fear that should permeate the days and should strike us with trepidation. And it's interesting, we start with Elul, the preparation for the Yomim HaNoroim. Elul, we know the Rosh Tevos are representative of that famous Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, the expression of our love, loving relationship that exists between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael to Hashem, and reciprocally Hashem to the Klal Yisrael. So we start this mood, preparing for fear, with a statement of love. That in itself should indicate to us that it's not just about fear. There's something that goes a lot deeper. And when we continue, we come, besides in the name of Elul, but we start as soon as Elul begins, for the Ashkenazim, right at Ma'ariv, Sfaradim maybe wait till Mincha the next day. L'dovid Hashem oiri v'yishi mi'iro. Dovid Hashem oiri, Chazal say, refers to Hashem as my light, Rosh Hashanah. V'yishi, and my saving, my salvation, referring to Yom Kippur, mi'iro, who should I be afraid of? Certainly, we're divesting ourselves of any other fear. But even that fear of Hashem is expressed in such a way. David HaMelech expresses in that capital is bitochen. Im tachane olay machane lo yiro libi. Im tochum olay milchomo bezeis ani voiteach. Kavei el Hashem chazak v'yameitz libecho v'kavei el Hashem. It's a statement of hope. It's a statement of our positive relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a statement of trust. It's a statement of inspiration and connecting us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and seems to leave this whole concept of fear behind us. Well, that could be compensated for by the shofar, because hayitok ha-shofar ba'ir ve'ho'om lo yecherodu. Okay, that's fear. That's what the shofar is all about. We start blowing the shofar in Elul. Hayitok ha-shofar ba'ir. Wow, fear. Ha'om lo yecherodu. Everyone will shiver at that shrill sound of the shofar, awakening us and reminding us that the Yom HaDin is upon us. And Bechora would seem to fit with this concept of Yomim HaNeiroim. Yet, I find a very interesting insight in the shofar, the Sefer HaChinuch, in the mitzvah of Tkia Shofar on the Yovel, on the Yom Kippur of Yovel, not in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, not in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, but in the mitzvah of Tkia Shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel. The Chinuch contrasts the Tkia Shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel with Tkia Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And he says, and the Tkia Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is to remind us of Akedas Yitzchok, and we are to, at the time, imagine ourselves as if we had performed an Akedas Yitzchok. I guess the idea seems to be, take Avraham Avinu, as maybe as you see it in the calendar pictures, and put your own face in there. Take Yitzchok, as you see in the picture, and put your son's face in there, and imagine myself performing an Akedas Yitzchok. And the Chinuch says that schus, that effort, that attempt at trying to elevate myself to that level of connection and of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll expand a little bit what it is in a moment, that's a schus for me that can weigh the din in my favor. As I stand at Rosh Hashanah on the din, it could weigh the din in my favor. So according to the Chinuch, it doesn't seem we're just talking about evoking fear. He doesn't bring even that posuk of Yitok HaShofar Be'ir Ve'om Necherodu. But rather he talks about the trusting relationship that existed between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine that. Avraham Avinu, so many years without having a child. One who had reintroduced into the world the message of Hashem, the message with the purpose of creation. And here he is left childless, knowing that it's not going to continue. And Hashem promises him a son. And he promises him, Ki b'Yitzchok yikor ilcho Zorah. He will be the Mamshich, he will be the Yerush. He will take your message and bring it to the world. And then Yitzchok is born and matures. He's 37 years old. And he says, now, Hali Uloilo. Now you have to shecht him. Shecht him, burn him, bring him as a korban to Hashem. And Avraham Avinu could have said politely and respectfully, Rabbeinu Shalom, Esmoilo Martoli Kibi Yitzchok Yikorilcho Zorah. Yesterday you said Yitzchok is going to be the Yerush. He's the man. He's going to take over. And now you say, Hali Uloilo? Didn't say a word. He could have thought, I don't get it. How can I do this? What's going on over here? Hashem told me Yitzchok is the Yerush. And now he says, Haleu Loilu. Belev of Sholem Rotzo Lishchoito Yisoy Kedei Laso Yisretzoin Hashem. His trust in Hashem was so intense, was so tight, was so great, that he didn't even think of the hearer. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Yesterday this and today. Shem says, Shecht, I want a Shecht. That's it. That's all. It's the statement of the ultimate trusting relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a human being, between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's to inspire us. And the Chinuch tells us, it's almost unbelievable, attempt to picture ourselves doing that, and we will find ourselves with a schus for the effort. It's not the opportunity. It's not there. It's not the reality, because there is no opportunity. We're not doing it. But the effort, the thought, the picture, I guess in science they call that guided imagery. That imagery of I'm doing Akedas Yitzchok. It can be a schus to overweigh the entire din, to turn the entire din on Rosh Hashanah in our favor. So it seems that even as we begin in the days of Elul, what would have seemed, or what seems, or maybe according to some, what may be this statement, this attempt at evoking fear, but it certainly also carries with it another image, an image of the depths of that relationship of trust that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that existed by the life, in the life of Avraham Avinu, in his conduct at the Akedah and Har HaMoriah, and the attempt to achieve that can be a schus for us. So we see that as we're preparing for these Yomim HaNoiroim, we're focused in a main way, in a major way, on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani l'doi di v'doi di li, kavei l'Hashem chazak v'yameitz libecho. And even the shofar reminding ourselves, picturing such a relationship. But the truth of the matter is that the shofar, in the shofar reminding us of Akedas Yitzchok, it goes one step further. Heard many years ago from the Rosh Yeshiva, my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim, Yeshiva Zechrono Levrocha. He said, Chazal say Hillel Machayev Aniyim. Because Hillel, who was so poverty-stricken, learned Torah, that's Machayev Aniyim to learn. Because now there was a Hillel who learned, so you should be able to learn even though you're an Oni. So the Rosh Yeshiva asked a very, very simple, very, very good question. He says, Monavshach. If the Oni has the ability to learn, so he's mechuyev even if there never was a Hillel. And if he doesn't have the ability to learn in his anius, then what's Hillel going to make a difference to him? It depends on whether or not I have the ability to do it, whether I'll be taken to task. He says, it must be that because a Hillel existed in the world, and we see the picture, they described the picture of Hillel climbing to, he couldn't get into the Beis Medrash because he didn't have the few pennies, climbing to the roof and freezing in the snow there, trying to listen on Friday night to the shir of Shmaya Vavtalion. And that picture enhances our capability. Because Hillel existed, he's Mechayev Aniyim, because now Aniyim have greater potential than they had before, because they have this image to look at, and they can inspire themselves, and pattern themselves, and develop, and grow from that image, and Hillel therefore is Taka Mechayev Aniyim. If that's the case, then Avraham Avinu too. The Akedas Yitzchok can relate to us. The fact that we attempt to imagine ourselves that way is enhanced by the fact that we have such a picture. Had Akedas Yitzchok not taken place in history, or the attempt as far as he went until Hashem told him not to, then we would be lacking in that potential. But that gives us more potential. So we have, through the remembering of Akedas Yitzchok, the ability to elevate ourselves even more, to be able to feel ever so slightly more that we have this relationship, that I would be ready, I wish I would be ready, I attempt to be ready, I look at myself as if I'm ready, and in fact, the fact that Avraham Avinu was so ready can enhance my ability to develop a deeper sense of trust in Hashem, but all about trust and our special relationship with Hashem. To just talk about our children for a moment. The success of our influence on our children, the success of our influence on anyone is a factor of our relationship. The power of love to penetrate all opposition is infinite. Probably one of the most dramatic statements of that is the encounter between Yaakov and Esav. Esav is coming, he has 400 soldiers, and Yaakov is with his four wives and 11 children preparing for this attack. And he sends to Esav a gift, tzoyin u'bokor, with a little note, with a little message. I spent some years with Lavan, and this is what happened, and so forth. And the Ralbach says in the Te'elius, he says, we see from here, how to melt the heart of a mortal enemy. Show him friendship. Show friendship. I hear some gifts. I was with Lavan. I'm telling you, let's catch up. You know, my dear brother, we've been separated for so many years. And that can melt the heart of a mortal enemy. But if you think about it, it's very strange. Yaakov had already tricked, so to speak, Esav twice. Esav felt that he was a trickster. Vayakveni zeh pamayim. You took the b'chayr from me. You took the brochas from me. And now I'm going to believe you that you love me as a brother? I'm coming with 400 soldiers. You're sitting there with four wives and 11 kindalach, however old they were. And now I'm supposed to believe that you sent me a couple of behemoths and a little bit of and a little note. I'm supposed to believe that you love me? Come on. I fell for this twice already. This is too much. It's just an attempt to save your life. Vaistois from the Ralbach. That the power of friendship and love, sincere friendship and love, brotherly love, real love, true love, is so powerful that even if the recipient is unsure as to whether or not this is real, it can still penetrate. The power of love is endless. And who is it penetrating? It's penetrating an Esav, who Chazal say the hatred of Esav was so powerful that it created a chuyk in the teva. Halocha hi Esav seinei le'Yaakov ad tayoim azeh. This halocha still remains. Esav seinei le'Yaakov. And this sino can be broken by what? By an expression of love that may be legitimate, maybe not. And the individual who is the recipient already has two situations where he was fooled and certainly has every reason to believe that he's being fooled again. But yet love has that power. So if that's the case, I think when we talk about influence, when we think about our children, when we think about it, it could be our young children, it could be our grown children, it could be our it could be anyone. We want to influence someone. The vehicle, the tsinor, the conduit, the way that that influence will communicate, will carry over, is through that medium of love. When that love is there, when that relationship is there, when that trust is there, everything changes. And this trust and this love and this relationship is really what we're supposed to be feeling at this time in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're to be inspired with a greater trust. We're to be focused on a mutual loving relationship. And it's only then that we can begin even to relate to this concept of Yomim Hanoiroim. But we all know, I'm sure we've heard it, that in order to even begin to scale that height of fear, we need something else. The Pasuk says in Tilim, and we say it in the Shir HaMaalos, Ki imcho haslicho leman tivore. With you, Hashem, is forgiveness in order that you be feared. And it seems from the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Dvorim, I think he has a little hakdoma there. So what's the pshat? Ki imcho haslicho leman tivore? Naturally speaking, people that are forgiving are less feared, not more feared. A person who is not forgiving would evoke more fear because he doesn't forgive. One who does forgive should really be less feared. Yet we say, no, with you Hashem is forgiveness in order that you be feared. Because unless we know Hashem is forgiving, then we cannot allow ourselves to be afraid. We cannot afford to be afraid. We're overwhelmed by that fear. We're so overwhelmed by that fear that it paralyzes us and doesn't even allow us to fear. We maybe run away, we freeze, but we can't focus on that. The seriousness has to be taken lightly. I have to make a joke of it. I have to forget about it. I have to pretend it doesn't exist. Because if I'm not going to be forgiven, then it's all over. When I know, ki imcho haslicho leman tivore, that's a different story. If I know how forgiving, and that really is, we begin with the slichas, and we focus on the fact that Hashem is in fact forgiving, and we can actually allow ourselves to fear and to be concerned about what's going on. I would say the same thing is true with our children. The Torah wants our children to have a certain modicum of fear for the parents. Ish imoy ve'oviv tiro'u. There should be something there, whatever that is, but it's a level of fear. It's not going to come unless they know how forgiving we are. Unless there's first that relationship. unless there's first that trust, unless there's first that sense of fairness and that sense of readiness to forgive and that sense of not holding a grudge and that sense of being willing to forgive and forget, unless we have that relationship with our children, there isn't going to be any fear because it's too overwhelming. It's too much. It could be paralyzing. And even though on the surface all it looks like is defiance, defiance without an ounce of fear, in reality, it's the fear of being afraid that leads to this defiance. But when they know ki imcha haslicha l'man tivorei, when they know the extent of the love, when they feel the extent of the relationship, when they have the fullness of trust, it's a whole different story. Now I'm not afraid to be a fear. I have fear. I have reverence. I have a little bit of awe. Maybe even a little bit of fear. I'm not afraid of it because I have this positive relationship. The truth is that Rashi tells us that this is really the basis for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all year long, not just at this time. Because we say, V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. So Rashi says, Eino deme oived mi avo le oived mi yira. Ho oived mi yira raboy matriach olov v'hoi lichloi. One who fears Hashem out of, one who serves Hashem out of fear, if it gets a little bit too heavy, takes a walk, it runs away. What do I need it for? What's the point of it all? I can't handle it. Not so when it's out of love. And the same thing goes with our children. If the relationship is built on love, if what we ask of them is perceived to be from a source of love, if the response is one of a connected relationship of ani l'doidi v'doidi li, there's a mutual love that exists between us, it's a whole different story. It doesn't become a tircha. I don't feel a burden. I feel a privilege. I feel a privilege to listen to what you want, to follow your directives, to make you, to satisfy you, to at least take under advisement everything that you suggest to me and see maybe I can implement it in my life. Because there's the love there. When it's fear, and many people unfortunately try to strike a little bit of fear and maybe a little bit too much of fear. What is it called? The emo yesero betoich beischa. They have a little bit too much fear in the home. The results can be devastating. The results can appear to be successful. On the surface, it may look like, oh, I got it under control. But what's seething underneath can never be anticipated. But when it's with love, no tircha. No rabba matriach olav, he takes a walk because there's nothing to fear. There's no tircha to be concerned about because, in fact, this is an act of love. This is a product of love. This is a result of love. Let's take this fear of the yomim hanoiroim one step further. It's a famous story. It was the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and the Riskarov, 1959, actually passed away that Erev Yom Kippur right before Yontif, and it was Aseres Yemei Tshuva. He wasn't well, and Rav Shach came to visit him, and Rav Shach saw that the Rav was very tzishroken. He was very fearful. He was shaken up. And the Rav was known to be an amazing Bal Bitochon. His efforts, his level of Bitochon was unusual, unreal. And the Rav Shach asked him, he says, what's the Rav so afraid? Where's the Bitochon? And the Rav quoted for him, the Pirush HaMishnayos on the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which talks about why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Rambam says that it's inappropriate to the mood of the days, because these are days of avodah and hachno, service of Hashem and humbling ourselves to Hashem, the year of afachad, fear and trepidation of Hashem, umivrach mimenu, such trepidation that we want to run away from him. If we could only a place, if we could only find a place to hide, to get away from Hashem, and not to have to be so afraid, we would run there. Umonois elov, and running to take refuge in his embrace. He says, the mood is of fear. So overwhelming is the fear that I want to run away. And where do I run? Right into his arms. Right into his embrace. Right into that connection and that trust. The fear leads me to put my trust in him because there's no place else to go. It's very serious what's going on. What am I going to do? There's no Eitzah. This is the real stuff. There's only one Eitzah. I embrace Hashem. I come close to Hashem. I rely on Hashem. I count on Him to save me from this terrible matzav of which I'm so afraid of Him Himself. So the Rav said to Rav Shach, he said that what I'm doing is I'm working on the fear so that I should be able to have the bitochen. Bitochen without fear is not really bitochen. The Rav, I don't think it was connected with this necessarily, I'm not sure, but he used to give a moshel about somebody who's walking along and everything, bal bitochen, everything is good. And in reality, somebody has a gun pointed at his back, right behind him. So he says like this, if he knows about it, then he's a bal bitochen. I'm in danger, I have a tzora, and I'm putting my trust in Hashem. If he doesn't know the guy has a gun, so what? That's not about bitochen. There's nothing, he has no problem. He's not trusting Hashem. He doesn't have anything to trust about. He doesn't have any reason to trust because he doesn't have a problem. So he says he's trying to bring himself to a greater fear to appreciate these yomim hanoiroim in order from that to be able to be a stepping stone that he can in fact feel a true trust in Hashem in these days, which can have a tremendous impact on the Yom HaDin. So we see that even the Maila of fear, even the Yir of Ofachad, the Rav said, the Briska Rav Lerm Pshat and the Pirush HaMishnayis, is to bring us to a trust in Hashem. The ultimate goal is that trust in Hashem. And that really seems to be the nusach with which we focus on Rosh Hashanah, actually by the Tkiya Shofar. You know, we say it, the Tkiya Shofar, Hayoyim Haras Olam. Hayoyim Yamid Bamishpot Kol Yitzurei Olamim. Today's the anniversary of creation. Today Hashem places in judgment, everybody stands in judgment, everyone, every creature of creation. And there are two options in the judgment. Im Kibonim, Im Ka'avodim. Either we can be worthy as worthy children or as servants, maybe not as worthy as worthy children. And the Python continues, Im kibonim rachameinu kerachem oval bonim. If we're worthy to be considered your children, have rachmonis like a father has rachmonis on a son. Rachmonis will carry the din. In din, we're worried. When we blow the shofar, we have this sense that if we have to go with Shuras HaDin, we may be in trouble. Certainly on Rosh Hashanah, in the initial din, before we had the opportunity to do a tshuva, a real tshuva, we're looking for any quick fix that we could find. So, im kibonim, rachameinu karachim oval bonim. Then we ask that in this din, you should, and the Marsha says that this Piyut refers to Avinu Malkeinu. Im Kibonim, Avinu. Im Kavodim is Malkeinu. So we ask Hashem, Avinu, please, if we're worthy to be called your children, and we can turn to you and call you our father, and we're worthy to do so, then we ask for Rachmonis. There's a din, and we're guilty, and we've been negligent, and we've done so many things that we shouldn't have done. And here we stand here even before having done the tshuva of Yom Kippur, and we ask you, have Rachmonis, Kirachem Ovabonim. But what do we do if we're not worthy of being even bonim, of even getting that rachmonis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Im ka'avodim. We're just avodim. Not such good ones. Not so well behaved. But we have another eitzah. Einenu l'chot tluyois ad shetchoneinu v'soitzi cho'or mishpoteinu. Our eyes are riveted on you. We're hanging those eyes there, ad shet choneinu, until you give us a matnas chinam. We're not going to give up. We're not going to lose faith. We're not going to give up hope. Ad shetechoneinu chanino amat naschina. We don't deserve, but we're counting on you. Einenu lechot tluyos ad shetechoneinu v'soitzicho or mishpoteinu. And the mishpot should be like the light of the day. Enlighten the mishpot. That's what we ask Hashem for, and that's what we express, that sense of relying, trusting, counting on Hashem to be able to give us that positive mishpat. So even the fear that we have is all to bring about this greater trust. And this trust can be a koyach in din, even if we're no longer to be worthy of being bonim. And I would like to come back to our children and suggest that there's a very profound message here too. And I would like to suggest that this message has to be completely internalized as part of our philosophy of parenting. Im kibonim. There are some times that our children act as children, as they should, and they're worthy of being considered their children. And then what they expect from us, and rightly so, is rachmonis. Rachmonis is very important. We have to be very sensitive. We have to be able to, you know, to have rachmonis, you need, everybody has rachmonis. Jews are rachmonim by shonim gomei chasodim. How come sometimes we don't have rachmonis? It's because we don't see the picture. We don't feel it. You know, I ask the question often, some might say it's inappropriate, but forgive me, that how is it when someone comes and tells us a very sad story? And, you know, we're not really overwhelmed by it. I feel bad, very good. And usually it comes with a donation of a couple of bucks and finished. On the other hand, if I saw the same story in the movies, I'd be sitting there bawling like a baby. What's the difference? Why is reality less powerful to us than fiction, than Hollywood? I think the answer is very simple. Hollywood orchestrates a picture that you can't miss. It's big. It's in color. There's background music which people have paid millions of dollars just to find exactly the right music to evoke exactly the feeling that we want. And you see it. You're focused on it. You paid money for it. You're sitting there. You have to. You want to pay attention. It's involving, engaging, enrapturing. I'm starting to cry. It's fiction, it's Hollywood, it's actors, it's not reality. But I see it. The same thing with all rachmanis. If we listen, if we pay attention, if we see, the heart will feel that rachmanis. And our children need that sense of rachmanis. They need that sense of attention. They need, maybe we could say that maybe the most important word in parenting is listening. We ask Hashem in these days to listen to us. What do you mean to listen? Shema Koleinu. He should hear what we say. He hears everything. No, we want that attention, that special attention. We have to give that to our children too. That's im kibonim, rachameinu kirachemu rabonim. V'im ka'avodim, what if our children are not worthy to be called bonim? Nobody should ever say that to a child. You're not worthy to be called my child. But sometimes parents feel that way. As often I've heard from parents, and it's such a painful statement, I love my child, I just don't like him. You know, like, sometimes you get that sense. Einenu lechotluyos ad shetchoneinu. They have to know that even if they have acted in a way which was so inappropriate that they really can't be called bonim, and they can't expect the natural rachmonis of a parent to a child. But they have to be able to know that if there's a trusting relationship, that that's going to make the difference. The relationship of trust has to exist even beyond the time when they are not acting any longer as bonim should be acting. And that trusting relationship, that ability to know that I tell you the truth, that we speak openly, that you can rely on me, that this trust, if I tell you something, it's going to be a word is a word. And that relationship can sometimes change, and many people have saved lives and children's, the way they conduct their lives and the connection to the family just by maintaining that trust, even with a child who was no longer worthy to be called and to be considered Bonim. I want to touch on something else that I think is critical in the Yomim Noiroim and in understanding and appreciating the relationship that Hashem has with us, and in a broader sense, in our relationship with our children as well. Hashem never loses patience with us. If He didn't lose patience by now, He's never going to lose patience. But that's not the raya. The raya is because He's erech apayim. Hashem is constantly, always looking the other way, waiting for us to return. Afilu im hirbu lifshoya velimroid, pesha. That's merid, limroid. Loisoga ba'adom dalsei tshuva. The gates of tshuva always remain open. Our gates also have to remain open all the time for our children. There's never anything that would close the door, that would lock the door, that would lock the gates, that they cannot return. Also, Hashem has elevated us. Ato b'chartonu mikol ha'amim, v'reimamtonu mikol ha'lashonos. This relationship that we have with Hashem, this special yichus, v'shimcha ha'godol v'ha'kodosh aleinu koroso. He calls His name upon us. Our children also have to be made to feel that we respect them, that we appreciate them, that we uplift them, that we validate them, that we're not ashamed that they carry our name. They have to know what type of a sense of, my child, how much I appreciate you, how worthy you are, how worthy you are for who you are, not for what you do. And that's really what Hashem has done to us. Because the worthiness of what's in our genes, from the ovos and down, is what Hashem responds to in terms of how He deals with us even today, even though we are less than worthy. And then, in conclusion, one of the midas of Hashem, we say it in Yom Kippur and in the Ne'ilah, Ato noisein yad lapoishim. He extends His hands to those that are rebellious. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that Hashem is extending His hand to us because we feel so unworthy. And sometimes we forget to extend our hands to rebellious children. And that's the midah of Hashem. And that midah is so critical because that's what we count on. Ato noisen yad lapoishim? That's us. That refers to us. That may even refer to us better than v'chein tein pachtecho, you know, pachar, I don't know. I don't know where we're holding with all these things, whether we really have it, whether we don't have it. Aber poishim, he's yinoisen yad la poishim. We're counting on that outstretched hand to lead us through these 2 weeks and to bring us to the point where Taka will be forgiven for everything, and where Hashem will decide with finality the din in our favor, and we'll be zeichet to a year with all of the brocha that we wish. And midah keneged midah, and as a practical eitzah as well, we have to be the same with others. Because someone rebelled, because someone went against us, that's not a reason to turn them out. That's not a reason to withhold our hand. That's noisen yad, to we extend the hand first, and that is what brings a person back and is mikarev him. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam should help that we should be able in these days to appreciate that special relationship that we have with Him, to develop that sense of trust, and to be einenu l'chot tluyos ad shetchonenu, and that we should be able to appreciate that special sense of love and respect that He has for us, to be able to translate all of that into our relationship and influence on our children, and to be able to be zeiche through all of this special relationship to a year that could bring the fulfillment of all of the desires of our hearts, of the end to all of the tzoras that the world faces, the tzoras that Klal Yisrael faces, the tzoras that individuals face today, lo yu'umen ki yisupar. Nobody could imagine the extent of it. Nobody has any inkling as to the extent of it with all that we know. And we hope and pray that we should be zeicher to a tichle shono v'kiloloi seho. The year should end with all of its curses, v'tochel shono u'birchoi seho, and the year that befalls us should be one of bruchah.